Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's. Last week we heard about time out on an ice-covered lake and stability on God's word. Today, let's imagine that ice thawing, going out fishing in the middle of the summer. On a calm summer morning, you go out, you drop the line in, and when you drop the line in, little ripples come out from the middle, out and out and out, and they keep stretching and expanding and keep growing. That's what our God's going to be talking about with us today as we talk about growing forward in gospel ministry. We'll follow the order of service as it's printed out for you in your bulletin and also projected on the screen. Let's begin with our opening hymn, 87. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For for the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. O Lord our God, your word summons us to discipleship. Give us grace to relinquish control of our lives so that we may serve you only, faithfully fulfilling our part in your plan for the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may take your seats for our scripture lessons. Our first lesson, which also serves as the basis for our sermon today, from Acts chapter 13. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. This is the word of our God. We continue with the anthem.
Yeah.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel ministry expanded as Jesus proclaimed the good news and called others to go with him and fish for people. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for hymn 573.
Grace and mercy and peace are yours, from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, fellow redeemed. This is a great congregation. And I don't tell you that enough. This is a tremendous and great and incredible, so blessed congregation. I'm not pouring out on you praise from a human perspective, because if I were doing that, it just means nothing, especially in the sermon. You want to hear what God has to say. This is appropriate for me to say this to the people of God, because this is Scripture's own praise for the people of God. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. This is what Scripture calls the tremendous people of God that Jesus bought with his own blood. What an incredible people you are. I think, from what I've seen in my time here, that you remind me of another congregation. You remind me of a congregation called Antioch, which happens to be in our lesson today from Acts chapter 13. A congregation very, very similar to this. Listen to what it says in verse 1. Now in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Menahem, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. When you look at that congregation at Antioch, boy, did they just have an incredible and neat, diverse group of leaders and people. They had a guy named Barnabas. Barnabas was from an island called Crete. They had a guy named Menahem, who was somebody who grew up with royalty. He grew up with Herod the Tetrarch, so he would have had a pretty incredible education. They had Simeon from Niger, whether he was dark complexioned or whether he was, you know, an African and black, a multicultural congregation already right then. And then you had Lucius, who seems to have been kind of a well-rounded guy, a deacon. Somebody like Stephen from Acts chapter 6. And this is the tip of the iceberg. It looked like they had way more than this there too. God blessed that congregation in Antioch to have a diverse group of people, a diverse group of backgrounds and upbringing. Think of all of the neat things they would have brought to the table for the people of God. And then they had all of this diversity of gifts and abilities. That's what it means, prophets and teachers. So many different gifts and abilities that they brought to the congregation. And God blessed that congregation. And God blessed those people by their ministry. And so what did that congregation do? They really stepped back and they recognized the talents that God gave to these certain Christian people. And they called them and put them into positions of leadership and authority in their congregation to use their gifts to teach and bring them the word of God. And that congregation grew by leaps and bounds. So have we. Barnabas, his name means son of encouragement. I bet he was just one of these positive guys, just always teaching people to rely on God, that God's going to work through this, that God's going to bless them through whatever it is. Just unflappable. Pastor Bodie reminds me just exactly like Barnabas. Really, he's just always got a smile on his face. He's just a great encourager, and he's just such a neat guy all around, gifts with music, gifts with trumpet, knows the scriptures and loves to take people to the word of God. Then you've got Luther, so well-rounded. If you give him a task to do, you don't have to check up on him. He will do it, and he will do it about 10 degrees more than what you asked him to do. He will make it an incredible thing, whether it's one of our events outside, whether it's an event in the gym, whether it's directing the choir and bringing these groups together to use their talents. That's an incredible thing. And have you heard him sing? Not too shabby. Mr. Marone reminds me of that guy named Menahem. Menahem, again, grew up with Herod the Tetrarch, which means he had a great education. And Mr. Marone, these are the things you don't get to see. He's just a fantastic administrator. And the way he understands the kids and gets them to blossom and just grow in his classroom and even shape the school and the faculty, just so even-handed, even-keeled, doesn't get bent out of shape. My daughter comes home and tells me Mr. Marone and Mr. Pommeyer stories, whether we want them to hear them or not, on a daily basis. Just pours these things forth. It's incredible. And I know I'm doing a disservice here because I'm not going to go through the entire faculty, but every single one of them, so gifted, every person so different from the next that they bring different gifts to bear. They grew up in a different place so that when you put this whole incredible team together like Antioch, it's something amazing when you step back and look at this. But that's not the half of it. In Antioch, when God brought all these diversity of gifts and abilities together, that congregation grew by leaps and bounds and flourished because it taught them in Christ to use their gifts and abilities as well. And the same exact thing is happening here. The called workers don't get all the credit by any means. That's not what I'm saying. But when the team works together, it unleashes all of our gifts and abilities in Christ to serve the Lord. And what an incredible place that is. It reminds me exactly like Antioch. And it goes on. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. This is really where the action is. Too many churches today have so many gifts and abilities. Maybe the churches have flourished and they've got high numbers of people, and maybe even those people are using their gifts. But they're missing the main thing. There are even some people among us that are missing the main thing. The congregation in Antioch prioritized worship and Bible study. Why? Because in worship and in Bible study, we hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. God talks to us through the Word. God talks to us and tells us what His teachings are and what He's done for us and what He wants for us. This, in worship and Bible study, is where we get to come and meet God face to face and tell Him exactly what we thought about His commandments this past week. Did you obey them all? In worship and Bible study, this is where we get to come and tell the Lord exactly what we thought of our neighbor, that even though He said to love our neighbor unconditionally, we get to admit to Him again exactly what we did and said to our neighbor. In worship and Bible study, this is where the power of sin is brought to a screeching halt as it's confronted with the holiness and righteousness of a God who justly condemns sin in sinners like you and me. This is where God teaches you that hell is real and that He will punish. Oh, do we absolutely deserve to go to hell for our sin? Do we absolutely deserve the punishment of God for what our record is? Jesus sure didn't. And that's the incredible thing about worship and Bible study, is that you get to see what Jesus did for you. You get to see what the Son of God did with His life, that He didn't commit any sin. No deceit was found in His mouth, as Peter says. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He went to a cross for a purpose, to take that punishment, to take that condemnation, to suffer on that cross the hell the world deserved, even though He was innocent. And He did it. So we come to worship and Bible study to hear how in the life and work and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God takes your sin, your worst, my worst, all of it, and He forgives it. We're here to hear that. God does it again for you. This is what we've come to hear, how the triune God in the Bible proclaims again the forgiveness of sins to undeserving people, and He gives it for free to you and to me. That's called grace. We're here to worship and praise the triune God who's gone to such lengths for us to forgive us and open heaven to people like us. It's incredible. We're here to hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, teach us these things. And so we prioritize worship and Bible study. In worship and Bible study at Antioch, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and they heard these things over and over, grounded them again in the Word of God so that they understood why they were gathering together as a congregation in the first place. For the Lord to hear what He said and to trust Him. That's worship, to ascribe worth to the Lord. God's worth it for what He's done for us for free in Jesus Christ. That congregation at Antioch, they prioritized worship and Bible study, and so they recognized the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said to them to do something. He said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them." The Holy Spirit wanted to send them into world missions, wanted them to go out into the world sharing the good news about Jesus. And so that congregation heard the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. We don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit talked to them because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. But the Holy Spirit spoke. They knew what his voice sounded like. They recognized it and they obeyed. The Holy Spirit asked for those two men to be released from their calls. That's the technical Greek verb that's used. Set apart for me. Release them from their call to your congregation and go about my plan to send them out for world missions. So which of your called workers are you ready to lose? Are you ready to send out Pastor Bodie and Mr. C to the world to go and to make disciples, to do mission work? Are you ready to send out Mr. Marone and maybe one of the other teachers? Ready to send out my wife and me? Because the voice of God in the Bible still today says go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Which of your called workers are you ready to send out? I think it's an important question. I have an answer to it. How about we go right here? How about we take the gifts and abilities God has given, the incredible ones, to this congregation? We prioritize the Word and listen to the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, and we go right here where there's a tremendous mission field. Did you know that in the Wells, we have what's called a call report that comes out weekly by our synod? A call report is all of the congregations calling and looking for called workers to further the harvest. They send it out every Monday. And on that list are calls for pastors and teachers and staff ministers. I counted it up last week. Active calls. Guess how many pastors had active calls last week? 52. And actually, that's not counting the ones where the churches are gearing up to call this week. And that's not counting the ones where the calls were accepted or returned, so now there's another vacancy. I thought we had about 100 to 110 vacancies for pastors right now. And the teacher side of it? 94. 94 calls right now where teachers are actively deliberating whether to stay or whether to go to a new field. Do you understand what God is saying to us today? Boy, are the fields ripe. There is tremendous opportunity around the United States and even around the world. And God wants to take congregations like Antioch, in my opinion, even congregations like St. Paul's Howard's Grove that have just tremendous things. And He wants to replicate that. And He wants to bring people into His kingdom, into the harvest. And He wants to take them to heaven. So what are we going to do? Ready for them to go? In my opinion, I would like each and every one of them to stay. And with the way the Lord has blessed our community, with the industry, with the infrastructure in Sheboygan County, you know what the Lord is doing? He's bringing people from the world here. He's bringing opportunity right here that we get a mission field right in our backyard. And we get to go right here.
What better way to go and reach the lost than to reach the young at 3 or 4 years old and to disciple them from that age, teaching them about Jesus all the way on for the rest of their life, that they get to know Christ, grow in Christ, and serve Christ no matter what their job is for the rest of their life? What better thing for a congregation to do than to reach young families who maybe don't have Christ as a priority in their family? They're not doing home devotions. Maybe they don't even know where to start. And we get to reach those young families, help them structure their home in Christ and around the Word, and then shape those parents into service in the Lord's house, how to volunteer, how to be leaders in the Lord's house, how to use their gifts and abilities and flourish the church, exactly the way our history has been. I think one of the neatest gifts in the United States is a Lutheran elementary school for a congregation. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, what a miracle that we have this Lutheran elementary school, where we get to combine a tremendous education. We were just accredited a year ago, this time of year. Fantastic flying colors for our school academically, but we get to combine it with Christ through the whole day. What a tremendous blessing to have the fear of the Lord and that tremendous spiritual wisdom with those young children, blessing their families as they take these things home with them, shaping those families. And then on top of that, you get a high school possible education with Manitowoc Lutheran, or maybe any of the other synod schools that are tremendous blessings in themselves too. Maybe even then Martin Luther College, where a number of our young children are right now. They're not young anymore, but growing kids. So that we get to send them out into the mission field. So that we get to bless God's kingdom and further the great thing they've been built up by you in the ministry to have. Honestly, and I mean this truthfully, I don't know of a better people. I don't know of a more tremendous congregation. A more blessed people of God that are just so fantastic to serve, such a joy to be around, that grasp the Word of God, that treasure and prioritize worship and Bible study, that love to use their gifts and abilities. It's a hard-working group of people that love to get together in a scrappy way, further the kingdom of God. And they love to do what Antioch did. Even if it hurts, sometimes through tears, to say goodbye to called workers maybe at times, if that happens, but to welcome new ones, to keep growing forward as we carry out God's plan together. A tremendous thing. It is an incredible thing for a church to be growing forward because that's a church where God is. That's a church where God's work is on display. It's a church where people are using their gifts to the service of the Lord. It's a church that prioritizes the Word of God, and they know exactly what the Holy Spirit sounds like because they've been reading their Bibles. It's a church that loves the lost and wants to get the word out to souls. Because hell is real. We know it. But we know the grace of God in Jesus Christ that opens heaven to us and to all who repent and believe. You are at a growing forward congregation. That's an incredible gift. Something to thank God for every day. And something, by God's grace, to partner with every day. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Gracious God and Father, we praise you for the countless blessings which we receive from your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank you for your saving word and for your Son's body and blood through which you give to us to eat and drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, you send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth. Strengthen us through this heavenly food. Increase our trust in Christ and our love for one another. Great God and Lord, without your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and grow careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of your grace and move us to use the gifts that you give us to share your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, and all good institutions that you have established for the benefit of society. Remember in mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring your healing to troubled homes and lives. Move us to pray for those in need and to help them with deeds of kindness. Lord Jesus, please watch over Richard Keither, Sr., as his health is declining and he's been placed on hospice. Help him to hold tightly to you with the faith that you've given him by your Spirit. Heavenly Father, we also ask you to bless our government and use them to do good for all the people of our land. May your gift of life be held in high regard, life from conception to old age, that all may in their time of grace come to trust in you through your Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In the past, he spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who is the radiance of his glory. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. For the sacrament and follow the direction of the ushers. We'll continue. That the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another and serve your Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. Special welcome to our guests and visitors. Love having you here. Please come worship the Lord with us again. A couple of announcements to share with you right after this. There is a cottage meeting. There is no formal Bible study this morning. The cottage meeting takes place of that, so our Zechariah Bible study will start up again next Sunday. The gathering this morning for the cottage meeting takes place right here in the sanctuary. We're actually going to record it so that we can make a DVD of it and get it out to those who aren't able to come in person to watch it. Should be plenty of room. If you have not signed up for the cottage meeting, no worries. I believe Kathleen Eichhoff is in the back. She's sitting at a little table with her laptop right now. She can sign you up. Real easy to do, so that's not a burden on us at all. We'd love to have you come, and even if you've seen it before, you're welcome to come watch it again if you like. Next Sunday, we have a voters meeting after the second service, and the information materials were sent out. We were able to figure that out. The attachment was too big for our regular email to send out, so we had to make it a link and just send you the link. If you'd like hard copy, I believe we have some hard copies available this morning, and you can take that packet of materials with you. I have news on Mr. Marone's call decision for Emmanuel and Tempe, and he has decided to return that call, which means he's going to stay here and continue his ministry among us, and we thank God for that. There's a mission field here, Mr. Marone. Thanks for seeing that. And then the last one I have is Mr. Van Alstyne for his after-service update. But before I send it to him, any announcements from you for today or for the week ahead? John? Could use three cleaners after the service, in between and just before the cottage meeting. Thank you. So John's right there in the back with the tie on. If you're willing to help, please see him. Jim?